You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. As Tom Gazzola joins us once again. Tommy, how you doing?
Good day, Gregs. I'm doing fantastic. We had a lot of fun at the rink today. I like the swag from Joe Burrow. I'm with you on the cheetah print thing. I think that's better suited for, I think, women can pull off the cheetah print.
Let's be real. Let's be real. Very few.
I think they can.
Okay. We'll disagree on that one. Struts, right. Do you like the cheetah prints?
I don't mind it. I don't. Yeah. It's pretty, I don't know, I think it's pretty aggressive, but I do. I mean, I think there's a time and place for everything. Have you guys ever worn anything cheetah print, anything like that?
No. Maybe it's too 90s, guys. Maybe that's why. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Like Shania Twain 90s, kind of?
Yeah. No, true story. Back in junior high, when we rode the bus to school, Paul Merchant and I we sat in the back seats together, and I'm not going to mention the girl's name, but anyway, there's a girl, she used to wear, I think she stole her older sister's, borrowed, stole, however it was, and she had these cheetah print pants. They were awful. And so maybe that's just always given me like a bad, anytime I see them, that's what I think of. So I don't think she wore them well at the time, and it's hard for many to do it now. Just my thought. Definitely not too weak. So there you go. Tommy, we'll get to the order game in a second, but I like the fact, I'm all about misdirection. And I've said this before, having done play-by-play for football over the years, I can tell you, I don't know if there's one sport that is more concerned about people spying on them than football coaches. I will guarantee it's no one's close. I remember Mike McLean once, when the Huskies used to practice underneath the high-level bridge at Kingsman, right?
Yep.
He thought for sure that the week they would play the Saskatoon Huskies, somebody was up on the bridge, and he's like, they're filming our practice. Like, he was freaking out that they're filming. And you saw the Miami Dolphins were running a CFL offense with 12 guys on the field because they saw that because fans had snuck into a video of their practice, so they decided to do that. And then the fans would post the videos online. Oh, this is what the Dolphins are doing. Gosh, I was laughing.
You got to love it, being one step ahead. The spidey senses were up for Mike McDaniels, and if he saw some people in the stadium at the University of Cincinnati and he thought that they shouldn't be there, maybe the phones got out. A little bit of deception going with the CFL-style 12-man offense to discombobulate these fans or potentially spies. And I know that in times in the past, even in training camp, we're talking about, and there were stories popping up of teams announcing over the PA on whatever scoreboards they had at their training facilities when fans were there, please don't record video of the offense and the defenses and the special teams and post them to Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. And it still happened. And these are fans of those teams. So they run the CFL offense. The Dolphins do at their practice in Cincinnati. And that's a good way to get in the head of the opposition, because even if the Bengals didn't let somebody into the stadium or conveniently someone found their way in and those clips made it to Twitter, you know that people on the coaching staff or from the social media team would be like, oh, look at this. And then pass it along to football ops, and football ops would try to decipher it. Like, that happens. So for the Dolphins and McDaniels to do this and really throw a wrinkle into that, I think is very clever, and it just tells you how everyone's on, like, high alert in football. It's the game within the game. It's a bit silly, but at the same time, it's juicy and fun to talk about it. So I can appreciate that. And we've seen, what was it, a couple years ago, the Patriots video team was trying to do some kind of Inside the Pats documentary for their digital team and website, and they ended up having someone take their credentials were taken away, And I think there was a huge NFL investigation into it because they were filming in the press box, but they also happened to be catching video screens, I believe, from coaches from the Pats that were up in press level or something to that extent. So, yeah, it's really tight in football, and I kind of appreciate it. And it's also a little bit, from a fan's perspective, I kind of chuckle and go, oh, man, everybody is just so worried about their schemes and stuff getting out. But I think it's great and a nice ploy to run a CFL-type offense at practice.
You know, the Blue Jays made the playoffs, but they kind of, and it was probably inevitable, but they kind of backed in because the Orioles lose and they get in that way. Does that make kind of for an awkward celebration? You know, usually you see these guys with their ski goggles on partying like crazy, but like, am I missing something here? Because isn't it more fun to party? Like, are they going to have that kind of a party after the game?
Well, Struds, if they win tonight, they would have got in anyway. Their magic number was one.
I know, but I'm saying this. I think we knew they were going to get in, but I'm saying, like, is there going to be a celebration like we've seen with some other teams after they clinch it their way rather than backing in?
But and I like the term backing in after a couple of losses to the Yankees and everything that's gone on the last couple of days. We saw the Yankee celebration. But I'll throw it out to you guys, and I don't know if, Struddy, if maybe you're kind of getting towards this, but I'll just flat out say it. Do you think when baseball teams clinch postseason berths, it's a bit silly how they celebrate? I mean, I don't know. Like, they're celebrating like they won a championship. It's not like they're clinching a berth in the World Series or anything like that. I know it's tougher in baseball to make the postseason, although it's been expanded. I just find it funny that they go berserk when they clinch a playoff spot. So, I don't know. I think it's silly, Struds, and maybe that's what you're inching towards, and I have no qualms saying it. The way baseball teams celebrate postseason berths, I find ridiculous and a little bit comical.
Fun sponge, you and Struds, the two fun sponges.
No, no, I'm fine with it, man. I'm fine with that. No
to me,
problem.
I have no problem with this. You got to go. This is a tradition that goes back to when baseball had four teams who made the playoffs. Making the playoffs was a damn huge accomplishment. And so, yeah, they've expanded a little bit, but to me, it's 162 games that you got to get in. And the only difference is people see them celebrating a bit. When the NHL teams win round one, they celebrate. They go to the bar. They're buying champagne. They're doing lots of stuff. It might not just be there. Might not be in the room where they plastic it off. But to me, I think we should celebrate more accomplishments in life. Actually, when you read books and they say people who don't celebrate the steps along the way and only wait till the end, they miss the enjoyment of the journey.
Fair point. I think, guys, and in baseball, reading some great books that are out there and talking to people who have played in the game and been a part of it, it seems like in a 162-game season that goes over the course of, 175 days, I think baseball players find ways to get some fulfillment and enjoyment throughout the course of the season, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear you, and I do understand what you're saying. Staying along the lines of baseball, though, last night Judge hits a homer, and I think Frankie Lasagna, if that's truly his real name, is taking a lot of heat for not catching the ball. I would claim that was, if it was a player, I would have said that would not have been an error. I don't think it was catchable. Uncatchable. What do you guys think? Should he have caught it as it sailed over the bullpen into just missing his outstretched hand?
Well, Struddy, he looked like you at the bar at last call. He had alligator arms, right? He just couldn't reach it. So, you know, he had short arms. I agree with you. You know, if he's a little bit lankier, he probably makes that catch. But I don't think his alligator arms could reach.
Oh, boys. Frankie Lasagna, close friend of Joey Tortellini and Freddie Spaghetti. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Italian national baseball team isn't great either. So the lineage isn't there. It's not in the bloodlines. Italians aren't taught to use their arms to catch balls. They just kick them with their feet. So, good on Frankie Lasagna for giving a shot. Apparently, one of our listeners and a follower says that Frankie Lasagna actually owns a restaurant in Little Italy. And I'm not sure if he only serves paninos and cafe, but if he does have some pasta dishes there, they better be damn fine, if you know what I'm saying, especially the lasagna.
Yeah, that was a tough break for him. Now, Tommy, we've had a lot of people saying that, you know, you had like a drive-by fruiting yesterday when you said the 72 series wasn't the biggest moment in Canadian sports history, but then didn't name one that was bigger. So,
right.
People want to know, what do you view as bigger than the 72?
Yeah, and you know what? As soon as I got off with you yesterday, I thought about that. I'm like, I should have just dropped an example right away. And I'm glad you brought it up. So the first one that comes to mind, and listen, I'm not taking away from the 72 series and the accomplishment. That was huge. And we know Canada and how much it loves hockey at the height of the Cold War. Fully acknowledge that. But I was talking about global impact, where the whole world is watching one moment in sport. And right away, Donovan Bailey, 1996, comes to mind. You could even, I think you could even make a case for Vancouver 2010 with the golden goal. And again, I don't want to I'm not knocking 72, but it was really Canada and Russia watching that series. Outside of that, guys, who in the world knew that that happened unless you were a super hockey fan back in 1972? So that's kind of where I came from. Apologies for the drive-by on it, and I actually thought about that and was a bit remorseful, but the first thought that came to mind was Donovan Bailey, 1996, fastest man in the world. Everybody in the world is watching the event, the 100-meter final in the men's, and it was our guy Donovan Bailey reaching the top. And so, like, that was the first one. There's others, obviously, in team sport that I think are up there, and it's global impact sports-wise. And thank you for bringing that up, because I get a chance to explain myself a little bit. And I think there's probably some people that are listening that are of a certain vintage that are like, no, Tom, that's BS. It is the 72 team. I get it. And I was not born when it happened. I've only watched the documentaries. I've watched some of those games. I've read about it, obviously, at length. I've heard the stories. But just globally, the impact sports-wise, Donovan Bailey is the one that stands out to me as number one. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that could probably think of a few other instances on the sports scene across the globe where Canada was at the tippy top, and everybody, not just Canadians and people in the Soviet Union 50 years ago, had a chance to see what was happening and embrace it and take it in and be like, damn, that was something special.
Joined by Tom Gazzola from Gazzola Chronicles here on the Jason Greger Show on TSN 1260. My name is Jason Strudwick. It's just at 5:20 right now. Tommy, the game last night, obviously a bit of a mismatch talent-wise and you know, kind of NHL pedigree-wise. What, if you're the coaches, would you have been looking for out of that group or out of individuals yesterday as you evaluate the game afterwards?
Yeah, Struddy, I mean, the overall result, not good, but and this team hasn't scored in two games, but, you know, different alignment in terms of roster the last couple of games. But individual efforts, you know, I'll point out a guy that we've kept our eye on, rightly so, Dylan Holloway. Did he have some good looks against essentially an NHL roster last night? He did. There was one play where he made a nice strong move, deked out a defender, and took the puck to the net, got off a great opportunity on Jacob Markstrom. Markstrom made a good save. And it looks like Holloway, you know, is continuing to carry that confidence into tougher competition. So that's a good sign. That's something to look for. You look at Markus Niemelainen, and he's been a story. He was physical again. He led the team in hits with 6 yesterday. And then team-wise, you could say, well, boy, there's a lot of bottom six guys and a lot of guys that will be on the PK that played in that game. PK went 3 for 3, and that's after they went 6 for 6. On Monday in Seattle. So that's 9 for 9 in the last couple games. I think that's a good sign as well, especially considering the guys that were in action these last two games. And toss in the goaltenders, Calvin Pickard, you know, an insurance policy between the pipes. He's been around for a while. He had a good start, especially when the Oilers were getting caved in the first 10 to 15 minutes, kept them in it. And, you know, Stuart Skinner let in a couple of goals. The Michael Stone one, after looking at it closer, it sounds and looks like it went off of Dylan Holloway, so the slight redirection there. And Mackenzie Weegar just, you know, buried one on a good opportunity, but he also had a good showing. So the goalies that are, you know, behind Jack Campbell had a good night as well. Those are some of the positives. And then there's guys that were no-shows that we've been kind of watching to see if they would do something, and the guy that's front center right now, and I think understandably so, would probably be Jake Virtanen. There's a lot of comments in regard to his game last night. if this guy's really fighting for a spot or trying to, he's got to do something, and he really hasn't done anything to get our attention in a positive way, I don't think.
Tommy, have yourself a great night. We will talk to you on Monday.
Have a great weekend, fellas.